Every Now and Then I Have Another Child is a title of the latest collection of interrelated poems by Dunedin writer and creative writing teacher Diane Brown. In the collection, she imagines a newborn baby who may or may not be hers, but for whom she takes responsibility. Sometimes the baby speaks directly to us in an unnervingly knowing way. Amidst the other characters in this world is an interfering doppelganger. Well, Diane says that the starting point for Every Now and Then I Have Another Child was a dream.
Which is kind of funny because I tell my students not to write about dreams. Who is interested in your dreams? Nobody. However, I had just finished my previous book and I had this quite extraordinary dream. And I must have just woken up at the right time. So I woke up, I sort of wrote it down into a long poem and gave it the title, Don't Ask Me Why, Every Now and Then I Have Another Child. And that was the beginning of it. And then I was so interested myself in the whole dream where I'm wandering around a place like Auckland with this baby, not sure whether the baby was alive or dead. And there's a riot going on. There was all this stuff and this doppelganger woman who came into it. And so I thought, oh, I don't know. I'm just going to follow these characters and see what happens.
I have to say the cover is exactly as your description of this baby. Mouth open, antique doll with a porcelain face, tangled brown hair, dark glassy eyes. That is so, it's a very disconcerting picture, I must say, on the cover of this. And this baby is disconcerting because now and then you'll flip it and we get the baby's perspective.
Yeah. Again, don't ask me why. This baby started to talk. And originally when some people had seen it at first, they said, oh, this baby knows far too much, you know, for a baby and can talk intelligently. And I thought, well, it's not really a real baby. I don't know. I was just having a lot of fun with myself, really. I'm quite interested in doing a book about my maternal line. Goodness knows where that's going to go to. But I realized that I was the last of my maternal line because my mother only had one daughter and I don't have any daughters. And I sort of felt a little sad about that in a way. So there was that. But also, I often dream about children or babies.
The first person is a really difficult thing.
It is.
It's easy to read, but it's difficult to talk about with the author because I'm not trying to assume that I am reading, you know, entirely your life story or your truth. But the word mother comes through a lot. So whether it's the baby reflecting on the adopted mother, or here you say, I could say I'm looking for my mother, that I've always scanned the face of every woman of a certain age.
That absolutely is fictional.
You weren't abandoned as a child by your mum.
My mother lived to the age of 97 and I had a very good relationship with my mother. So I don't really know how that came about, except that I had written a novel before, which has never been published. And in that novel, the five-year-old child, her mother disappears when she's five and she's never seen again. So it's something I've been kind of thinking about for a long time.
You mentioned right at the start that you tell your students not to write about dreams, and the students and teaching creative writing is throughout this collection as well, isn't it? I think my small class of tree huggers with no hope of gaining a job on graduation. You know, there was, it's quite a not bleak, but it's a very forthright view of the process of teaching and or learning creative writing.
I mean, I have some really long-term students who've been coming to me for years on a regular basis. And I love my students dearly. And I was thinking, gosh, I'm not sure that Joanna in this book is quite so fond of her students. But niceness doesn't sell. So she's a bit acerbic. But I do have some quite acerbic views, I suppose, on the creative writing industry. I'm just not very comfortable about the idea of students paying a lot of money and putting all their hopes on writing as a career because it is so difficult. So my relationship with my students is more about getting them to to write the best they can, but kind of teasing out a lot of these areas. I mean, why are we writing about this? And just dealing with where creativity comes from.
In the start to chapter 4, Every Cloud a Story, loving your characters is good advice, but like spouses, sometimes it's necessary to dispose of them. That just made me laugh.
That's a private joke, really, because when I started off with this book, originally the main character, Joanna, had a husband. And then I thought, oh, this husband is too much trouble. I think I'll just get rid of him.
Pure coincidence running into Joanna. I recognised her instantly, even without the big hair, earrings and makeup, and her author's carefully presented photo. So the doppelganger is also very disconcerting. What can you tell us about the doppelganger?
All the way through this book, I keep thinking, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this kind of thing, but I keep thinking, is this doppelganger real, or is this just a figment of Joanna's imagination? That she was the other side of Joanna, perhaps, a sort of down on her luck, the kind of life that she could have had if she hadn't got into writing. So the doppelganger is quite jealous of Joanna, and there's a sort of question about whether she might be an identical twin or what exactly she is. And I have to say, I really finished the book and I still had no clearer idea about whether she was real or whether she was just part of Joanna's mind.
Is that part of the pleasure of this, Diane, that you are left with some questions yourself, if you know what I mean? Because often our books are quite literal, you know, if you're reading fiction,
yes.
it's quite literal and there's a beginning and end to this. But for you, if you're left feeling yourself that you've got a few question marks, that must be intriguing as a writer.
I suppose it is. With this book, I was really very keen to let myself go slightly wild, slightly surreal, and just not try to impose too many ideas upon it and too many ways that it might go. I just thought it was really important to be just following the story and amusing myself as much as the reader in a way, because I get annoyed when people tie things up too much. I want this people to go away themselves and think, is she real? Is she not real?
You drop into this, which really intrigues me, quite different work. So you're following through the baby and the doppelganger and the story and the children and all of these things, ex-lovers, parents, and then you'll comment on in London, flames allowed to consume the cheap aluminium cladding of an apartment block housing the poor, you know, and you're looking at Australian bushfires. This is all in one poem or one little chapter. Or Iran and China arguing with Trump, you know, his finger tapping the nuclear button. So the outside world pushes itself in to this very personal kind of story too.
Yes, I really wanted that because I think around me, or what I notice, is people are really sort of worried about where we're going in the future and what's happening. And I spend a lot of time watching the news. I'm not like some people I know who refuse to watch the news because it's so disturbing, because I think we're living in here and we've got a responsibility to say what is going on. And I just wanted this to have some of those ideas, things that were happening, to be including them in, just for people to feel it was real in a way, which it is, because something would happen and I'd just stick it in there somewhere.
Well, there's an aspect to the baby too. I've got Why Not Show My Face in front of me, where we're getting the baby's perspective. And I mean, there's some beautiful lines here. Now, like all children, I want a parent who takes time to listen to me breathe, you know, who gives me space to find my own words, my own stories, and who knows me by name. I mean, I found that quite beautiful, actually, just the baby's perspective.
Yeah, well, it's probably maybe not that obvious, but I'm kind of observing a lot of, I don't want to sound judgmental, but mothers going around, and what are they doing? They're looking at their cell phone all the time, and they're not actually talking to their babies, and that disturbs me. Finding yourself on the other side. Haven't you sometimes discovered yourself teetering on the edge of a lake or a skyscraper with no memory of how you got there? And yet you know it's not dementia. It's more like you've slipped into another life, running on a parallel track, one layer behind. In that life, I wander the streets of my newly alienated city, looking for the man who offered to take the baby from the hotel to a place of safety, even though he was a stranger to me. Perhaps he could see I was not up to mothering. Across the square, their hands twitching on battens, police stand by, watching the homeless rioting. An old-fashioned fire engine drives onto the footpath, heading towards me. Out of the way, lady, the fireman yells. I jump sideways. Watch out for my baby, I say, patting her back in the timeless way of a mother, although I've forgotten the details of her birth. But we all feel that, don't we, when handled a white wrapped bundle the midwife says belongs to you now and forever. A lie. There comes a time they must slip from your grasp.
Every Now and Then I Have Another Child is the title of the latest collection of poems by Dunedin writer Diane Brown. It's published by Otago University Press.